What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are closed right now because we are welcoming as our guest Michael D. Knox, Dr. Knox. He's the chair and founder of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. And Michael, thank you for spending time with us again.
Well, Michael, so nice of you to have me back.
Well, no problem. For those of our listeners who don't know about the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, let's start with that and then we'll get into your book.
All right. Well, the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation is a 501c3 not-for-profit. Its purpose is to honor Americans who work to end war. And we document the work of and honor courageous Americans who have had the courage to speak up against U.S. war in particular and work for peace. We publish the U.S. Peace Registry. We raise funds to build the U.S. Peace Memorial as a national monument in Washington, D.C., and we award the annual U.S. Peace Prize. So we have a website, uspeacememorial.org, and people can look there to learn more about what we do.
Okay, and how long has this Peace Memorial Foundation been in existence?
Since 2005.
All right, so you're definitely getting on there, 15 years now, 16 years, I guess. You're coming up on your 16th birthday. So tell us about the new book that you've got coming out.
Well, the book just came out. It's in hardcover, paperback, and EPUB and Kindle. It's called Ending U.S. Wars by Honoring Americans Who Work for Peace. So that's kind of the mission of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, and in the book, I go about, you know, demonstrating, discussing the U.S. culture of war. Then I have a chapter giving suggestions about how we might move towards a culture of peace. Then I go into discussing the plan to honor Americans who work for peace as a way to move us in that direction. And about the U.S. Peace Memorial, what it might look like, where it might be located, and what's going to be documented on it. And then we go on to recognize hundreds of Americans and organizations who have worked for peace. And they're all living Americans. And I'm proud to say that we're very happy to have honored some of your work. There are several examples of your work documented in Chapter 7 of the book. Your blog that's exposed some of the discrepancies that were used to justify wars, and you question official reports on the costs of war and successes of war, and your talk show, radio talk shows discussed war and peace issues many times, and you're actually one of the founding members, I think from 2015, founding members of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, and we appreciate that.
Okay, well, I blush, you know, that I'm in the book, and I understand that the ultimate aim, or one of the ultimate aims for the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, is a peace memorial in Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C., they've got a memorial to this war, and a memorial to that war, and a memorial to this general, and a memorial so forth and so on. But nobody's ever put up a memorial to those who work for peace in Washington, D.C., that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There are a few things around the country, and including in Washington, that have the word peace on them, but actually they're monuments to war. I think the American concept is you earn the peace by winning the war, so you need to have a war first, and that's not our purpose at all. We're trying to honor Americans who have the courage to try to stop wars, to end wars, to reduce military spending, nuclear armaments, and so forth. All the different aspects of that, ending sanctions that really harm the people of countries, and certainly not the leaders that we appear to have arguments with. So, you know, there have been no monuments, and we are, you know, this is a hard and probably long task. It took over 25 years for the Martin Luther King Memorial to be built in Washington. It cost over $100 million. So the World War II monument that was built fairly recently in the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, that was built after most of the veterans of World War II were already dead. So it takes a while, and we realize that. So that's why the book is so important, because the book serves as the U.S. Peace Memorial until it can be designed and constructed. So we document what people have done, organizations have done for peace in behaviorally specific terms. We have 12 U.S. Peace Prize recipients over the last 12 years, and their work is documented. We have quotations from famous Americans that will be, they're one of the chapters of the book, but they will actually be inscribed on the monument when it's built. And we hope that all the people who have whose work is documented in the book will also have their work documented at the U.S. Peace Memorial in some kind of electronic form. So there'll be access to it for everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right now, area code 512-248-8252. And if anybody has a question for Dr. Michael D. Knox about the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation or his book, please call on in and we'll put you on the line with him. So I think it's a very noble ambition to want to have a peace memorial. As you said before, we have been taught to think that peace is only the result of having a war, whereas I think, in my view, peace means simply not having the war in the first place.
Well, exactly. And we know that we can use these resources. We spend most of our money on war and defense spending, CIA spending, which often is war spending.
Yes.
And, that's where we spend our money, but we know we can use it for other purposes, for infrastructure, for roads and bridges and healthcare. And we don't even have N95 masks in our local drugstores. We can't, it's just, you can tell where our priorities are when you see it's military spending, when you see that the presidents of the United States, including Biden now, he ended his Democratic nomination acceptance speech, his presidential victory speech, and his inauguration speech. He ended all of those with, "And may God protect our troops." So you know where the emphasis is. It's on militarization. He doesn't end his speeches thanking healthcare workers or teachers or farmers or tradespeople or any of the aspects of our community that make great contributions. It's always military. That's where we spend our money. Those are held up as heroes to our young people. And our purpose is to make sure that Americans, especially young people, understand that there have been great sacrifices made by people who have opposed war. They've done incredible things, and they need to be held up as role models. And people should consider, when the U.S. is at war, speaking out against that war. They should realize that it's socially acceptable to speak out against war.
Yes.
And they need to study more. Americans need to be more aware of what we're doing. And in Obama's last year, which is the last year we have statistics, the Council on Foreign Relations calculated that we dropped 26,122 bombs in 2016. That was 3,000 more bombs than we dropped in 2015. That's three bombs every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that was in seven different countries. And they actually told us how many bombings there were in each country. And when you think about that, Americans aren't even aware of that. And that bombing continues today. And now we're having tough talk with Russia and China and trying to provoke additional engagement. There'll be some missteps. We're surrounding Russia and China, and that will lead to some missteps that can lead to calls for escalation and calls for war. And our leadership, from our president down to in the Congress and the military, will all be very happy, and the military, the corporations that benefit from military spending will be happy. And, you know, we need to stop it. We need to stop the provocations. Yes. We need to stop the wars that are going on right now. And we're killing people in at least 7 countries today as we speak.
Well, it's, you know, we're a warlike nation, and it's time we owned up to that. I think there's only been, 3 or 4 years in the entire nation's history where we weren't involved in some conflict somewhere. And, of course, we had that horrible civil war on our own soil that killed so many people. And it's almost like we're raised to think that war is acceptable and it's cool. Certainly, with a few exceptions like Full Metal Jacket, the movie industry tends to glorify and ennoble the idea of war and fighting war.
Yeah, absolutely. It permeates our culture. I mean, you can't even go to a basketball or football game or even city council meetings or religious service without some militaristic type of ceremony.
Yes.
Halftime show or whatever. It's every aspect of our culture. And think about this. The U.S. has bombed no less than, probably more than, but no less than 30 countries since the end of World War II. So that's, in my lifetime, you know, we've killed millions of people. We've maimed tens of millions more. We've disrupted and destroyed education, healthcare, housing, businesses, infrastructure, environment in other countries. And since 1946, no other country has killed and injured more people living outside of its borders. And truly, we are maybe the greatest threat to peace on earth. 2014 Gallup poll international surveyed people in more than 60 countries and found that the U.S. was viewed as the greatest threat to peace in the world. And there's no wonder that's the perception, because that's exactly what we do. We do war.
Yeah, we do. And we sort of do it well, although lately I'm seeing a lot of stumbling. I mean, for all the money that goes into the military-industrial complex, you know, we've seen disasters, boondoggles like the F-35, the Gerald R. Ford. They're already canceling the Freedom and Independence littoral class vessels, and it's not only a lot of money, a lot of it is being wasted because the entire military procurement system has become corrupted. Anyway, we have a caller on the line, and Andrea in Oklahoma, do you have a question for Michael Knox?
I have more of a statement. At this time with the COVID and the vaccine, the COVID is just a big ploy to push their poison on the people of this nation, which is turning into, I guess, using the word Holocaust or genocide, seems to be more important to me at this point. There's no peace right now. We have our government seems to be the biggest terrorist, and everybody's life is on the line right now. And they're getting so crazy and so desperate to give everybody this vaccine that has known to have babies in it and AIDS in it, and you name it, they put it in it. Sick cows, sick pigs. I mean, and it's going to kill people. And it's going to be everybody, like in my family, everybody I told not to go get it ran out and got it. Like, they couldn't wait
Andrea?
To get it.
Andrea?
But that's my point. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but that's my focus, and we're still at war right now. To put up anything about peace is just kind of silly, and that's
well, obviously, I disagree with you on that one. I think, Dr. Knox made an important point. We have to make seeking peace cool again. I remember back in the 60s when Vietnam was raging, it was socially acceptable to be anti-war and to wear the pins and carry the signs and, you know, tie-dyed shirts and long hair and everything. It's hard to imagine me with long hair, but I did have it back then. We need to focus on that, and that's the whole purpose of this discussion. So do you have anything to contribute on the issues of war and peace?
Well, I remember protesting too, but it was mainly to bring our guys home.
Yes.
We didn't want them being slaughtered over there. We didn't want the Agent Orange being dropped on them. We wanted them to come home.
That's a good reason.
But
that's a good reason to seek
peace,
is to save all those lives on both sides.
There's a giant one in Washington, D.C., with lots of poor fellas that lost their lives on it.
Yes.
I'd like to see, you know, the peace flag. You brought that up a long time ago, of what the peace flag looks like. And it doesn't look like the flag we got right now, but that's because we're still at war. So, okay, that's my comment. I'll let you go. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you for the call, Andrea. Michael, do you have any feedback to that, or do we want to go on to another topic?
No, I think bringing the troops home is certainly a good idea. You had said before the question that we were sometimes successful at war, but I've got to say, you know, we're not. And when
No.
we talk about bringing troops home, I mean, as I said, we've killed millions of people since the end of World War II. We've invaded at least 30 countries. And essentially, looking at what our goals were, we lost all of those wars. And I think after 20 years, we will eventually leave Afghanistan, although Biden now says he wants to leave troops there, even though Trump said
Afghanistan is saying leave by May 1st. Iraq is now telling our troops to get the heck out. So it does look like
and
this.
We need to. And, you know, it can bring our country down. The sheer expense of it can bring our country down. And we knew that from day one. We knew it from the Soviet experience, where the Soviet Union essentially fell apart because of its engagements in Afghanistan. And we're only there to trouble Russia. We, we essentially founded the Taliban to make it difficult for Russia and make it kill as many Russians as possible so that they would find the war costly and leave. And now we're fighting them, and we're embroiled in the same kind of conflict that the Soviet Union was embroiled in. And I agree with your previous caller. We need to bring those troops home.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need to do that. And I remember one time when I was still living in Hawaii, there was this anti-Iraq war protest. And there was this guy saying, support our troops. And I said, yes, let's support them. Let's bring them home where they're going to be safe. And he shot me a really dirty look there. But, every time there's a protest, there's always going to be these plants there from the government to try and keep the discussion going, rah, rah, victory or death and whatever else they're going to say here. So let's talk a little bit more about your book. In fact, where can people get it? Let's get that done before we run out of time.
Well, if they go to our website, uspeacememorial.org, on the very first page, they'll see a picture of the book cover, which is the peace sign over some destruction. If they click on that, they will see all the various places you can buy it, just about any bookstore. Barnes & Noble, there's a link to that. Powell's Bookstore, Amazon, Books A Million. There are a bunch of links. There's also the EPUB versions that are listed there. There are also lots of endorsements from people whose names they may recognize, endorsements for the book, people who have read the book carefully and drawn conclusions about it. they'll also see our Peace Prize recipients listed there, and they'll see design ideas for the U.S. Peace Memorial as a national monument. So I'd say going to the website and clicking on the book is the best way.
Okay, Mike, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. Our guest today is Dr. Michael Knox, the founder and chair of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. And before we get back to him, a quick reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your continued support. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a donation for $100 or more, include your t-shirt size and a return address, and you will get a spiffy official RBN t-shirt. And don't forget that we have the Front Sight Firearms promotion is still going on. There is a story just now breaking on the news. There's an active shooter going on in Colorado. We're going to keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, let's get back to the phones here. We're going to go to Terry in California. And Terry, do you have a comment for Dr. Knox?
Yes, I do, Mike. And I think the best way to peace is to expose the lies in the beginning and go beyond that and expose the liars. And anyway, like, you know, some, they got the press. I give this one small example. My daughter was listening to 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, and they had this piece about all these children that were getting tortured. I mean, tortured bad. And of course they blamed Assad, and my daughter bought that. And she says, you know, we got to do something about him.
But I think that was all live. Seen the lies that 60 Minutes puts on.
Yes.
They got a format that two stories could be straight, and the third story could be propaganda. And the next week, all three could be straight, so people get that confused. They think it's a reliable source of news, and it may not be. So expose the lies, and if you can get deep into the details of it, I know they pretty well protect their private conversations on these things, you know. But we go as deep as we can and expose the liars, too. And by the way, you know, the war that I was in, everybody says we lost 58,000 were killed in that war. No, we lost 3 million that were killed in that war, and a lot by us to the Vietnamese. And a lot of South Vietnamese died that were friendlies. You know, that's another thing.
Yes.
You know, like, example, with all these villages all over that are different now, but, I mean, the country's different now, but the way the tactic they use, they sent a high-ranking Vietnam official in there, and he would just get everybody's attention by killing the village chief, chop his head off right there in front of everybody. And then he'd point his hands at the 15-year-olds and say, you're Viet Cong tonight, and tonight's your first mission. Okay, so they go out and they come back the next day. They don't have a choice. And then what happens? That village is designated a VC village. So the grunts come along and they Zippo lighter it, or we come along, we drop napalm on the village. And, you know, that sort of thing's got to be exposed as well. Anyway,
well, you know, we do try and expose it, but and I fear that's the reason why social media is now trying to deplatform and shut down anybody who is critical of the official story about anything, because if they're really aiming for a new world war, they can't have any people out there asking questions where the whole population can hear it.
Yeah, and if they do, they just ignore it. You know, they don't even address it. You're like 9/11, all these examples of people saying their theory, and they're just ignored. You know, they don't even argue with them. You know, our narrative is the only one, and the other ones that we're not even going to respond to. Anyway, that's what I got, Mike, and I appreciate taking the call. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Mike, do you have anything to respond to that?
Well, Terry raised a lot of interesting and important issues in terms of the war he was involved in. You know, that's a war that keeps on killing. We left landmines and cluster bombs and napalm and Agent Orange, and now we're shooting depleted uranium all over the Middle East. And
yes.
You know, these wars are not just finite. They don't end when we lose them and go back home. You know, they continue to kill people. And, of course, the people that for every person we kill, the millions that we've killed since the end of World War II, for every one, there are at least 10 to 12 people who are seriously maimed and will live with that injury, that debilitating injury for the rest of their
yes.
lives. Then you talk about the family members of the people we kill, and you're talking about hundreds of millions of people who are personally affected by U.S. wars. Regarding his point about exposing the truth, absolutely necessary. Shows like yours are important, and people have to take responsibility to look outside the standard news media.
All right, Michael, I got to put you on hold. We got to take another break for commercial. Got more callers waiting on the line when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Michael D. Knox, who's the chair and founder of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. The website is uspeacememorial.org. He has a new book out on ending America's wars. And let's go back to the phone lines now to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I had 2 points. I think it's a great idea, and I hope you guys are successful. I think the Nobel Peace Prize has become kind of a joke, and,
yes.
You know, it's given peace prizes to Henry Kissinger and Obama and Bob Dylan, you know, for some reason, for
yes.
telling the world to get stoned. Yeah, Al Gore. You know. So that would be great to have a counter to that, if we could get enough media attention, you know, gradually. My second point is kind of the people who would be soldiers, the anti-war, kind of the working class, white and black people, have been kind of pushed out of the left wing by, I think it's COINTELPRO going on today, like people like Susie Sheehan or, Cortez from New York.
Yeah.
They become like our leaders, right? And then they push just a bunch of social justice, the pink hats. kind of ridiculous stuff, and then that pushes our people away from the left Democrat wing when we should be kind of just retaking that over, I think, if that's a strategy. I think we've allowed them to scare us away with their nonsense, basically. So just wondering what you guys thought of that. You know, I mean, I don't...
Well, Michael, what do you think of that?
Well, our book looks at a broad range of people and a broad range of anti-war activities, and I think there's room for everything in that range. We've identified more than 900 specific behaviors that people have engaged in, and if you're thinking about opposing war, you could look at this book, look at the role models, look at the examples of what they've done, click on the links if you want and read more about it, and then decide what you might do yourself, what you feel comfortable doing. So, you know, it's everything from writing a letter to your editor, writing a letter to your member of Congress, to, you know, civil disobedience that leads to your arrest. So these kinds of, you know, behaviors that Dan was just talking about, I mean, some may feel uncomfortable to him, but there are lots of others that might feel comfortable to him and other listeners who want to oppose war. You know, they don't have to wear pink hats or whatever the other examples were, but, you know, every little bit counts. You have a responsibility to speak out against war. I grew up I was born exactly 9 months to the day after the bombing of Nagasaki. So one of the first, baby boomers. And I can imagine that my parents thought that, there'd be a peace now. And maybe that's why they decided to have a child, the first child, because, and I was conceived apparently in an army base. So, with that hope, over 70 years ago, 75 years ago, that we could be a nation in peace, to a nation that has invaded 30 countries, I think you have a responsibility as a citizen to speak out against these atrocities. This, what we're doing now, it's not only spending our treasure and killing our soldiers, and diverting us from the things we ought to be paying attention to, but it also is immoral. It's evil. And there's no nation that's doing more of this kind of murder around the world than the United States. And so we have a responsibility to do something. And you call it Dan for some things, but there are many things you can do.
Okay. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, that's I see a lot of examples of, like, COINTELPRO being used today, and it's frustrating. So thanks a lot. Great show, guys. Sure. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And we're going to go to Pat in Florida. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
This is Pat in Fort Worth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that you look and see how many presidents had war. Carter didn't have any, but he gave away the Panama Canal, and he had the Iranians holding our hostages, that whole plane full of hostages, 40 days. And Reagan, they said he's a Goldwater Republican. He'll have us in war in no time. Of course, his was peace through strength motto. And on the day he raised his hand to take his presidential oath, they let the hostages go. So they say, and that was just HW with that October surprise. I don't believe that.
I think there's compelling evidence that something was going on in the background there. It wasn't, you know, that a deal was made to hang on to the hostages in order to damage Carter.
Well, maybe President GW wanted to get Reagan in so he could become vice president, but I don't want to take up for him.
Yeah, and
okay?
Then there was the attempt on Reagan, which would have promoted GW to the Oval Office.
Well, that's true too, and he lived through it. But Iran, did it to President Trump by knocking that plane out of the air, thinking that he'd get mad, but they got caught, and they were the embarrassed ones, and he said he didn't want war. Well, W. Bush was challenged by China because we made some kind of mistake. I can't remember what it was now. Maybe knocked out one of their submarines or something. And so they were ready to start a war. And he just said, well, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. That was the end of that. That's enough, right?
Okay.
They do try a new president. They do try him. And this time they just wanted to get rid of President Trump. But that Soleimani
Look what we wound up with. All right. Well, listen, Pat, we're going to let you go.
Well, that's kind of enough of y'all didn't vote for him. Enough people didn't vote for him.
All right, well, we're going to switch over to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome back to the show. Do you have a comment or question for Dr. Knox?
I do. And Dr. Knox, I appreciate your coming on. I really applaud this idea. It was interesting hearing from Terry what he had to say. I mean, always good comment, but particularly personal, that was very good. One of the things I want to say as a former military guy, is that the most disturbing things, that trends that I see happening now. One, I'd like to hear what you say, Dr. Knox, is one of the things, the anti-war movement itself, the worst blow I think it ever received, was Barack Obama's ascension to the presidency. When there was a major anti-war movement against G.W. Bush back in the early 2000s, and it was, again, it seems to have been partisan, politically motivated to a very large degree. And once Obama came in as a black, quote, liberal, who ended up getting us in other wars again, but it completely eviscerated the anti-war movement here. When hundreds of thousands of people were doing it, when it was a Republican in office. But then we go into Libya, we go into Ukraine, we go into Syria, and all these other places, and back into Iraq and back into Afghanistan under Obama, and it's dead. It's crickets. So just like what they're calling a riots, like the Black Lives Matter riots, they're not riots to liberals, right? But the thing with the Capitol is a riot to a liberal. That was a riot, right?
Yes.
But the other thing, and then I'll hang up. But I have found, having been in a whole bunch of these myself, that Clausewitz, war has an objective. It's politics by other means.
Yes.
Usually you define what victory means. And since the end of World War II, when we have Korea, which the definition gets a little nebulous, definitely nebulous in Vietnam. The war on terror, there's no, the objective seems to be perpetual war itself, perpetual conflict with no defined, and it goes hand in hand, I think, with the fascist government, which, Mike can tell you what the definition is. It's basically when the state and business basically teams up at the expense of people, and they're running these tremendously profitable wars that, of course, is killing us and killing people all around the world. But profits the big business, and there's no objective; they're ongoing. And it doesn't even seem to be any more war. It's just killing for profit. And that's it for me. I would love to hear what you have to say.
It's always been that way. I mean, if you go back to Smedley Butler and his little pamphlet, War is a Racket, I mean, if you haven't read that, you need to hunt that down. Okay, Dr. Knox?
I have read that, yeah.
all great points. Appreciate it, Peter. Pat was also talking about U.S. presidents, not just President Obama, but as far as I'm concerned, they're all warmongers. They've all been warmongers. I know that President Obama, every time he would see someone in uniform, he would have them stand up and tell them that they were the best this country has to offer. Thank you for your service. You're true American heroes. Again, not talking about the teachers and the farmers and the healthcare workers and the tradespeople and all the people who contribute to our community, but the soldiers are always on the mind of the president because they are basically militaristic, and they become president because the businesses and others who profit from war support their candidacies and the candidacies of other people in Congress. So, I would say that, he's right on in terms of his assessment of President Obama.
Yeah, presidents may come and presidents may go, but the wars seem to go on forever.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But when Obama took office, we had Iraq and Afghanistan. In the week of his inauguration, he invaded Pakistan. And then we had Somalia, Libya, Yemen, and Syria added to that. So we start out, with a couple wars and end up with six or seven countries that we're killing people in. And there's no reason for it. There's no objective for it that we know of except making money and killing people. And they're poor people. These are defenseless people. And not one of the countries that we've invaded has ever attacked the United States or been any threat to the United States. They're poor, underdeveloped countries that don't have the resources to even defend themselves. And the people that we murder are people that have no means of defense. They're helpless, women, children, family people, old people, just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time because the United States is mad at their leaders.
Or they covet the natural resources of the country. I mean, right now Syria says the United States is controlling 90% of Syria's oil.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But there's always a reason, and maybe that we don't like their philosophy. We're going after non-Christian nations right now. We went after Asian nations and Korea, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. Because I don't know why, because they were allied with communist countries, perhaps. But
the reason for going into Vietnam was partly access to the heroin coming out of the Golden Triangle.
Okay, yeah, well, there are variety of reasons. Yeah.
Okay, well, Peter, thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to Chris in Clearwater. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Dr. Knox?
If you'd like to comment on my point, just a couple quick points. Cindy Sheehan, the caller, mentioned, of course, don't idolize anybody, no matter how much you do trust them. Check out whatever you're going to repeat. And when it comes to Cindy Sheehan, I have nothing really to criticize her on, although one of her handlers back in 2009 at an event in St. Petersburg near here really surprised me when I was just hanging out at an event with Cindy Sheehan and waiting nearby in case she had a chance to talk. And her handler next to her said, oh, you're that something to the effect, you're that 9/11 guy, and sent a strong signal to me. It didn't stop me from if she was available to talk to speak to her, but it really, made me wonder, is this government controlled, even if it's not? I can understand she looked at my profile online and knew ahead of time, but for her to just greet me that way was kind of surprising. And, maybe she's afraid of me interviewing her and having some criticism, but of course I don't have anything really nearing the level.
Anybody who rises to prominence as an anti-war person or any kind of an activist, you have to be careful that some of the people around you who want to support you are actually there to infiltrate and try and steer you. And certainly Cindy Sheehan for a long while was a highly, highly visible anti-war personality.
Yeah, she was. It was the manner in which her, I'll call her the lady, a handler, I don't know what she was, her friend, her acquaintance greeted me, her manner that really was most striking. And mm-hmm. The second point is that calling the radio shows, folks, just take the information. You you get on this show, take notes if you don't have the time to research and call into shows, make notes, record your calls, because I found, about 12, 13 years ago when I called in a warmongering talk show host who's now nationally syndicated, by the way, he edited my call on the fly. During the call, he actually took a clip from a previous call of mine, and it made my call sound foolish, where he replaced what I was saying. So what you do is you record it live, and if you have continuous footage showing that it was broadcast a certain way, say after your call, go over to the tape recorder and press play, play it back, and see if it matches the way you recorded it on your end.
There's a lot of that going on here. I remember one time the New York Times claimed that I thought there were ancient civilizations on Mars, which was nonsense. All right, Chris, I need to let you go. We're going to close the phone lines. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we're going to come back and finish up with Dr. Michael D. Knox and the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're finishing up with Dr. Michael D. Knox, who's the chair and founder of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. I've been out there checking my doorstep to see if my copy of the book has arrived yet, but no joy at this particular point. Once again, the website is uspeacememorial.org. And Dr. Knox, is there anything you want to share with our listeners regarding the book and how to get it and why it's important?
Well, I just hope that people will look at it. If they look at Amazon, they can actually, I think, read the first 40 or 50 pages for free. I hope they'll get them interested and that they will join our effort. The U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation is a 501c3 not-for-profit, and we are looking to have 1,000 founding members all representing all 50 states before we go public. And we have every state and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, except Delaware, Mississippi, Nebraska, South Dakota, Rhode Island, and South Carolina. So we're trying to add some more states, but also we need another 500 founding members before we will be at that magic 1,000 number where we can really start to have our fundraising campaign to raise the money necessary to build the U.S. Peace Memorial. So I hope your members and listeners, rather, will join us as founding members and take a look at the book.
Well, I certainly hope so, and not just because I'm mentioned in it. And I promise you, if I win the Powerball, you will get a big chunk of the prize, okay?
Wow, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. And we're going to let you go now. And once again, that is uspeacememorial.org. And again, a link to buy the book is right at the main page of whatreallyhappened.com. Getting on last couple of news items here before the end of the show. NASA and Microsoft are out there trying to emphasize that learning how to code is important if you want to get a good career, and that more and more NASA relies on software-driven hardware. Wasn't that way in the early days? Mercury, for example, they were just starting to get computers. The Mercury was literally controlled from the ground by a pre-recorded taped set of data signals. And now, of course, there's all these different machines out there, so coding is a good thing to learn. It's good to learn anyway in this day and age. And unfortunately, somebody's probably going to come back and say that coding is racist. All right. Now then, interesting little article. This is coming out of the Duran.com, asking if the Elgin marbles should be returned to Greece. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you go on out to the Parthenon, there are some gaps in the top of the building up by the roof where there used to be all of these statues, which were basically grabbed and brought back to the British Museum, and now Greece wants them back. And I think possibly it might be time for that to happen. Okay, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. Stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.